Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another week of Huddle. Welcome to Huddle. Hey. So next week will be our last week for Huddle for this semester. I mentioned last week we're going to have Jeff Hart come and share. We'll probably have maybe some music, maybe some communion, and he'll just kind of share his heart on what he wants to. So please invite someone. It's going to be a special week. And do we have any first-time people here today?
First-time today. All right, I like that.
Okay. Let's give it up for our lovely ladies over there taking the time to serve us. Silence your cell phones, that would be great. And then I'll let Pastor Joe chew his food here and have him come up and we'll pray. I just want to thank Joe being a full-time pastor at Shiloh, but then taking 3 weeks to share. I know that's a lot on his plate, so thanks for
the opportunity.
So let's pray. Father God, thank you for today, and thank you for just being good. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for loving us right where we're at. Thank you for this tool called Huddle and this food. Again, just thank you for Joe and his life, his commitment to you, Lord. Pour him out these next few moments. Challenge our hearts and our minds and our souls that we can go out and live for you. We love you so much. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Men, I've really appreciated the opportunity of being with you, and I especially appreciate the table talk. Last week, I was at the table. George, thank you so much. I really got a lot out of it, and so it really helped me to even understand the text and how to talk about that with our situation. So I want to thank you for this opportunity. Let's pray. Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say,
Amen.
Amen. There were two older ladies who were driving in this big, huge Buick. The car was so big they could barely see over the dashboard, and they are cruising down the street. They come to an intersection, and the light is blatantly red. No doubt about it, it's red, and they go straight through it. And the lady who's in the passenger seat, she starts questioning herself. Well, maybe that light wasn't red. Maybe I'm just seeing things. Come to another intersection, and the light has, like, been red forever. Straight through it. And then she starts really thinking, am I losing it? Are we really going through these red lights? What's going on here? Come to the third intersection, and once again, it's red, and they barrel straight through it. This is our third a time of being together, our final time, and looking at the life of Joseph. And I just want to say, if there's anybody who's gone through some red lights, it's Joseph. Betrayed by his brothers, thrown into a pit. They were going to kill him, but his older brother, Reuben, said, no, don't kill him, and I'll come and save him. But instead, he ends up getting bought off by some money. They sell him into slavery. Joseph is a faithful servant to his master Potiphar, then falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and then he is thrown into jail. Joseph is hitting red light after red light after red light. Let me ask you a question. I got this on the screen. And the question is, have you ever been punished for something you didn't do? I see some nods of the heads there, right? You ever been punished for something you didn't do? Maybe it was at work when we were at our table last week. My friend Fred was talking about that, how some people try to get ahead by blaming you for the issue or for the problem. Well, punishment is supposed to help you learn the lesson, but when you're innocent, it's not really a punishment. Hear this, it's a test.
when you're not guilty, it's not really a punishment, it's a test. I have two sons, JoJo and Zachary, and they are wonderful young men. When I was in Indianapolis, I ran a program for youth where we taught respect and responsibility and leadership skills. And about 40 kids in the program, and what a fun thing that we would do in the afternoon is we'd play four squares. So there'd be a huge line of kids playing four square. Now, when my sons were up, I would be the line judge. I'd be standing over them there, and they'd be doing their foursquare. And if you get out, you have to go all the way to the back of the line. Sometimes when they were up, I would purposely call the ball out on them. Even when they hit a good shot, I'd call line. Now, let me ask you.
You're a rascal.
Yeah. You just added one of mine to my question. Did I do that because I'm a rascal? Did I do that because I don't like my boys? Did I do that because I wanted to upset them? No, that wasn't the reason at all. I did it to test them. See, here's what I did. I had told my boys that they were leaders. I had told my boys that other kids follow your examples. And I told my kids that your attitude matters. All of that was the study material, right? But there's a test that's coming. And so my thought was, if they could pass a test with an inconsequential foursquare bad call, then maybe they could pass the test when things really mattered in life. Reminds me of the scripture from Luke 16:10, and I also got that. Those who are faithful in the little things will also be faithful in much.
Amen.
The story of Joseph centers around Joseph's dream. And Joseph's got this dream about others bowing down to him. But the greatest transformation that happens in the story of Joseph is that Joseph learns to serve others. Joseph learns to what? Serve others. One more time. Joseph learns to what? Serve others. Regardless of how they respond to him. Think about it. Joseph serves his brothers even though they try to kill him. Joseph served Potiphar, even though Potiphar's wife would accuse him falsely of rape, and Joseph would throw him into jail. And in prison, Joseph serves the king's cupbearer, even though Joseph will be forgotten. In prison, Joseph ministers to the folks, and he does such a good job of it, the jailer puts him in charge and doesn't have to worry about a thing. And there's two other people that are in the jail, the king's baker and the king's cupbearer, and they're upset because they have these dreams that they don't understand. And Joseph comes to him and tells them that the interpretation of dreams belongs to God. And then he goes on and interprets them. He says in 3 days, the king's baker will be executed. And in 3 days, the king's cupbearer will be released and returned to his position. Joseph tells the king's cupbearer, please remember me when you're released. Remember me, because I don't belong here. I am innocent. Let me tell you something. When I read that this week, it made me think of another conversation between people that were convicted. Jesus and the thief on the cross. You guys remember that? The thief on the cross said, you know what? Please remember me when you come into your kingdom. The thief says, I belong here. I deserve this punishment, but you are an innocent man. And Jesus says these words, truly I tell you, this day you will be with me in paradise, right? If there's one thing that I know for certain is that Jesus kept that promise. 3 days later, in Joseph's story, king's baker is executed. The king's cupbearer was returned to his position, just like Joseph said. But then here's what the scripture says. Anyway, help me out with that. Genesis 40:23. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. And read these next words with me. Man, I tell you what. That has to be three of the saddest words in the whole story. He forgot him. And so Joseph ends up staying in jail for 2 more years. That's 2 more years of birthdays behind bars. That's two more years of seeing other people come and go. That's two more years of knowing you are innocent and waiting for someone to come who never ends up showing up. But it's also two more years of serving faithfully right where he was. Matthew 20, 28 is talking about Jesus. And it says this, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And ultimately, that's the lesson that Joseph learns. Help me out with this, Andy. The lesson that he learns is you serve. You use your gift. Let me humbly say this. I've got a gift. Maybe I shouldn't call it a gift, though. Maybe I should call it a passion. I absolutely love to make music. I absolutely love it. It's God's greatest gift to me that I get a chance to be a part of that and to do that. Now, when you say a gift or a passion, it has nothing to do with how good it is, right? I'm not saying it's good at all, but it's something that I know I was born to do this. Here's something that happens, though. A lot of times in my life, I hold back. Maybe you could think about your own gift. And we begin to think, well, if I put it out there, someone might not like it. Someone might reject it. Someone might not understand. And so we hold on to that gift, right? Maybe we even like in that story of the talents, we even bury it. I don't want anyone to misunderstand. I don't want anyone to not like it. So I hold it back. I didn't use my gift until I was really comfortable. Imagine if you're Joseph. Your gift is interpreting dreams. But every single time you interpret a dream, nothing good comes of it. You might get tempted to see it as a curse instead of a gift. You might look at it as a burden instead of a blessing. And that's how I was beginning to feel about the music I was making until this lady came to me and she said, Pastor, God gave me a word for you. I'm like, okay. And here's what she said. It's from Proverbs 18:16. It's on the screen. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Gentlemen, it wasn't until this morning, about an hour and a half ago, I realized that this verse could have been tailor-made for Joseph. Because Joseph used his gift. He gave God the glory in it, and it brought him before great men. See, Pharaoh would eventually have a dream that none of Pharaoh's magicians and none of Pharaoh's wise men could interpret. I can remember hearing this story as a little kid, and I think the teacher said, and none of the king's horses and none of the king's men could put Humpty Dumpty back together again, right? Everybody in the whole place, can anybody help? No, no one can help. No one can interpret this. And then all of a sudden, the king's cupbearer remembers Joseph. And he tells Pharaoh about Joseph's gifts. And Pharaoh calls for Joseph to be brought up. They need Joseph, this man of God, to do for their nation what no one else there could do. Let me repeat what the lady said to me. Proverbs 18:16, a man's gifts makes room for him and brings him before great men. Can I tell you something? God has given you a gift. God has given you a passion, something to share. And it's not about the quality, about how great you do it, because you know that God can even use our weakness, that even when we mess up, that when we're terrible at something, we think, oh, this was the worst ever. And God can do something great with it. So maybe the big push right here is, how do we use our gift? How do we use our passion even in difficult times? When things aren't going our way, when things look hard, when other people don't seem to get it, it's not for your glory. It's for the glory of God. Pharaoh says to Joseph, no one can interpret my troubling dream, but you come highly recommended as a person who can interpret dreams. And Joseph's response to Pharaoh is this. He says, I can't, but God can. Can you say that with me? I can't, but God can. Joseph says, don't look at me. I know what you've heard, but it's not about me. He says the same thing to Pharaoh as he said to the king's baker and the king's cupbearer. The interpretation is for God. It's not for me. I can't, but I know someone who can. It's a bold statement of faith. Joseph, as a Hebrew, was taught when he was a little kid about the power of God. Joseph still holds on to the same faith of his great-grandfather Abraham. I can't do it, but God can. And maybe, gentlemen, somewhere in your situation, you need to be reminded of that. You can't, but God can. Maybe it's in your relationships or your job, your finances, or even your faith. When we get to that moment or that point where it seems like it's all just so much, it's too much for me to do, you're right. You can't, but God can. There were two elderly women riding in this big old Buick. The car was so big they could barely see over the dashboard. And they're cruising down the street. They come to an intersection, the light is red, and then right through it. And the lady in the passenger seat was like, am I seeing things? Did we just go through that red light? Another intersection, red light, boom, right through it. She's like, what's going on? Come to a third red light. She's like, I'm going to pay real attention here. And right through that red light. And finally she turns and she says, Mildred, you just ran through three red lights. You could have killed us both. What were you thinking? Mildred jumps and says, oh my gosh, am I driving? In that same situation, I think of Joseph. Joseph's response would have been, I might be in the driver's seat, but God's got the wheel. I don't know what that might mean for you. It might look like you're in the driver's seat, but ultimately God has the wheel. And God is able to bring good even out of bad situations. Gentlemen, thank you so much for giving me this time to share with you. And I'd like to end today by sharing a song with you that I wrote a few years ago thinking about the story of Joseph. Thank you. Oh.
I was bought and taken apart of his house. I was tarred, I was put in charge. I made him vast amounts. Then I was hotly pursued, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. The judge wouldn't listen, and so the sentence that he gave me was life. So here I am, once again in the pit, forgotten about. Back to my dreams, I said a king and saved the land from drown. God elevated me, celebrated me, and made me regal. I understood, God used for good, but my brothers meant for evil. God picked me up and he turned me around. Oh, he put my feet on solid ground. Ooh, from the rags to the riches. Ooh, God pulled me out of the trenches. I was down about to give up. Ooh, but God pulled me up. Ooh, from the rags to the riches. Ooh, stuck in the mud up to my britches. I was down about to give up. Ooh, but God wasn't finished.
Thank you.